The following podcast may contain inappropriate language, sexual content, and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Gonzo.Moe.
Oh my god.
You don't love her?
I had no idea you did that.
Oh boy, welcome to a super secret impromptu Christmas episode of the Gonzo.Moe No Name Anime Show. I'm joined by Ryan. Ryan, you haven't been on a show in a long time.
Sorry, I have not.
I'm playing your favorite sound effect, but I'm actually going to turn the soundboard off right before we started. Apparently, the new iPad Mini is sending an electrical signal to my mixer board, and it does not like it. And so, like, every... What is it? It's like every couple seconds it does an electrical click. It's not great. So we're going to get all these sound effects out of our system now, like this classic one.
What does this mean?
All right. So I'm going to turn that off now. Ryan, how have you been? You had to work on Christmas Eve. That is awful.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been worse. Could have not closed early, and then I would still be there, probably. No, I'd still be there, absolutely. You know, there are too many fucking people who want to go out to eat at Olive Garden on Christmas Eve.
So the reason we're doing this is, so every couple years, and I'm not going to get right into it, but I'm just going to set this up. Every couple of years, I watch this terrible anime called Itsudate My Santa. It's a Ken Akamatsu anime, the creator of Love Hina, Negima, UQ Holder, and of course, coming this summer, running for political office. It is not a good show, and I was talking about it, and Ryan asked me, how bad is it? I said, Ryan, I can't tell you over Twitter. That is too difficult. So Ryan rushed home from work so we could do a podcast. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Christmas anime and Christmas time in general. Ryan, do you have any Christmas anime traditions? Are there anime that you watch every Christmas or, I don't know, anime-related things that you do during the holidays?
Well, there is one weird thing I do for certain every year now, and I couldn't tell you why anymore, but I posted that weird picture from The Simpsons, which has a photo album of Homer and Bart at what is apparently Disney World, while Goofy holds Homer's arms behind his back, and Mickey punches him in the gut.
What?
I don't know. It just seemed funny to me.
This is something that you posted on Twitter today, or is this something you post every Christmas?
I usually send it out every Christmas. I'm like, hey, look, it's Homer getting wailed on by Mickey Mouse.
Oh yeah, sure enough, that's one of your second. Oh yeah, because you've got a pinned tweet, but then your most recent tweet is this Homer getting punched by Mickey Mouse picture. That is interesting. I started doing the Super Happy America Morning again. I don't think I've talked about it on the No Name Anime Show, but I've been doing the Super Happy America Morning again. It's at WJMOERadio.com. And I was talking on today's show, or maybe it was yesterday's show, about anime that reminds you of Christmas, but it isn't necessarily about Christmas. Do you have anything like that? For my example that I gave was Boogie Pop Phantom, because I bought it with Christmas money and watched it for the first time over Christmas break.
An anime that's not necessarily about Christmas, but reminds me of Christmas. Well, honestly, I have not watched anime in so long. So the first thing I think of, though, is probably Clannad. And I think that's something to do with this, perhaps, After Story. I don't know. Have you seen After Story?
I don't think I've seen any Clannad at all. I've seen all of Air, and I've seen the Air movie. I don't remember anything about it. I know that at some point they talk about how they're reincarnations of like feudal Japanese people. And I've seen parts of, I think, the second canon. And I think at the beginning I may have played a canon Ugu clip. But yeah. I've not seen any of Clannad.
Well, not spoilers, but kind of spoilers. Like, there's one really super traumatic event. Every traumatic event in that show of note seems to come from a backdrop where there's snow falling. And that's why I can't help but think of Christmas and, you know, Clannad. Basically, that's the first thing I think of.
Another thing I talked about, well, and I guess by extension, Boogie Pop Phantom, but is there any particular anime-related purchase that you made with Christmas money that you remember fondly? Or am I the only dork that spent all my Christmas money on anime?
Oh, man, I feel like I don't qualify as a dork if I don't come up with something now, man.
Well, you play a lot of visual novels and video games. I know that lately anime hasn't really been your thing. For me, that's always been like my main nerdy hobby. Whereas I really fail as a video game fan. Like the other day I was posting on Twitter like, "Hey everybody, is Tales of Arise good?" Someone's like, "Yes, you moron."
Man, I don't like the Tales games, but that's probably the hot take I have of that particular JRPG series.
Oh, I just remembered what I was going to say. Right before we started recording, I said, like, oh, I had a thing and I lost it. I just remembered what it was. So before we started, we were talking about how now I do the show as a one-hour thing, and there's multiple reasons behind that. Part of it is so I can put it on my streaming radio station and have it fit within a certain block, but also because it's hard doing three-hour podcasts. It's hard getting people to come on to three-hour podcasts, too. But also as a consumer of podcasts and, you know, YouTube content, that kind of thing, it's really intimidating now when every fucking video is like 3 or 4 hours long. I remember when Anime World Order came out and they started to do longer shows and we're just like, whoa, it's a long podcast. I'm going to need to like go on a road trip. But it was a novelty at the time, and now every podcast is like that. And myself included, maybe we didn't all earn the right to be that long. But specifically, I'm bringing this up because last night I rewatched some of a Dark Souls Let's Play that I watched back when the first game came out. And it's this guy, Mitchell. He worked for a company at the time called Gamefront. He no longer is with that company. I think Gamefront is still around. But his walkthrough is still available to watch. It's like 60 or 70 parts, which is unheard of now.
Oh, what the fuck?
Well, here's why. Because every video is like less than 10 minutes.
Okay, well, then again, it might be hard finding what you want unless they're like titled specifically.
Maybe, I don't remember. I'd have to go through it. I know that when I watched it originally, it was very easy to follow along, but because I started the game and started the walkthrough at the same time, I just played along with him. Right. So it wasn't that difficult. But I was watching some of the walkthrough last night, and I was like, "What? This intro is only 8 minutes long, whereas like now Let's Plays are just outrageous." And what was so funny is the first video in his Let's Play, the only thing that happened was he created his character and watched the opening cutscene. And then he was like, "Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe, guys. I'll see you next time."
There were some Let's Plays that I used to watch a lot back in the day. I mean, I still watch a couple, but I'm talking about the first ones I watched. What was the name of that guy? Before I can remember his name, he also did a lot of like really short stuff like that, where it basically end after the intro.
Yeah.
The first video just served as him talking about whatever the game is and what his objective for it was going to be. And then all those videos, it's probably because the YouTube video length back in the day was not, it was like 15 minutes.
Yeah. I was just going to say that is you had to like unlock the right to be able to have longer videos. But even then, I don't think they could be like unlimited length. One of the first people to really do that, I hate to give him lip service, but I think it was PewDiePie was one of the first people to really do these like marathon length videos and have success at it. And that's why people started to do it more and more. But also just with how the algorithm works, if you have longer videos and people are watching it, it's better for your channel and this and that. It's a whole mess. And it ends up making, the other day I watched a documentary, quote unquote, on Caramel Dancing. And it was like a 45-minute video when it really could have been 20 minutes long, maybe shorter.
I was wondering, besides you was talking about that, because Caramel Dancing, I know that I'm very familiar with Popotan, so I'm like, do I really need to watch this? I know where the dance itself came from. I don't know how the song got put to that, but...
Well, that's what this 45-minute video attempts to answer. And it's funny because I think the person that made it has no exposure to anime, because they're like, well, the dance, it comes from a, I don't even want to say it out loud. And they just flash the word Popotan on the screen. They're like, I'm not going to go into it any more detail than that. And I think it's because they're afraid to talk about a porn game. And it's like, I don't know if it was a porn game, but a lot of people have said that it was. But it was also an anime.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a hentai. It was like just a normal, I never watched it, but I know that it wasn't a hentai.
Cool tip for those who are.
Was it a hentai? Am I wrong?
No. It's not. It's, there are softcore Etsy moments, but I did review that anime on the, I don't remember if it was Anime Pulp or the little show we did before Anime Pulp way back in the day.
Nice.
But yeah, we talked about that.
It's the Caramel Dancing thing is it's a wild history because it started out as, it was like a Swedish band. It was like the fifth or sixth song on one of their albums. It didn't get a ton of play. And I guess one day a DJ accidentally played it, not even like double speed, but like just under 20% faster. Like they hit a button wrong on their turntable or something. I don't know.
Oh, and wasn't that fast originally?
No, it's not. The version that we're all familiar with is not the original version. It's a Nightcore remix. And so the DJ accidentally played it at like 19 point something something speed. And the crowd really got into it. And then they started requesting that version at future shows with this DJ. And so that version became very popular. And then one day it got posted on 4chan. And people were like, oh, this is dope. And somebody, I guess, totally unrelated to the DJ and the first person that posted it, combined it with the Popotan dance. And that's how it became what we're familiar with. So that band breaks up. Like, this all happens, like, years after they've broken up.
Okay. And
the record label is like, oh, well, shit, one of our songs is... I mean, we didn't really call things viral at the time, but viral, you know, one of our songs has gone viral. It was, you know, it was huge at anime conventions. It had reached Japan where, Japanese people were making their own versions of the dance, like videos or like animations of it.
It's doing numbers.
Yeah. And so they released more songs of similar style with the sped up vocals. And they rebranded it because the original band was just called Caramel, and they called it the Caramella Girls.
Oh, Jesus.
And they would make music videos of these like really crudely done anime girls, like CG anime girls doing the dance. And they did this for years, and they like back credited the original song to the Caramella Girls. And that's part of what the video is trying to say is like, hey, you know, they're taking credit for this song and it really belongs to this other band. Although legally speaking, they're probably not doing anything wrong because it's the record label that would own the rights to that song. So they can do whatever they want with it, ethical or not.
And it sounds like you've described the history more concisely than the video you watched.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That was a 45-minute video. And I pretty much told you everything from that. Now, they play a lot of examples of other songs. Like, there's a Christmas version of Caramel Dancing that they made. There's an English version. There's, like, a Japanese joke version. Because, like, one of the things they talk about is how the Japanese people that found this song, they... You know how, like... I don't know what the right word is for it. But, like, when you hear a song in another language... And you make fake lyrics for it that, like, they sound like their language sounds like words in your own language, but they're clearly not. And it just ends up being, like, gibberish.
Well, the first thing that came to mind was, like, the popular frequently misheard, but that is completely different. So I'm not.
It's the same concept. There is, like, a Japanese music video version of it where. They find Japanese words that sound like the Swedish words. And I guess one of them is balsamic vinegar in Japanese sounds like one of the lyrics in their song. And instead of ooh, 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 ah, ooh, ah, they hear uma, 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 which just means horse.
Yeah. Well, we all saw Uma Musume, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So we're all familiar with that.
I never finished season two, but I definitely watched season one. So I want to talk about some Christmas stuff. Ryan, did you ever watch the Crunchyroll Christmas specials?
Wait, what?
The Crunchyroll Christmas specials. So in 2015, maybe 2014, Mike Toole teamed up with Crunchyroll to produce a half-hour Christmas special that they got played on TV. I talked about this briefly on the morning show, but I hadn't watched it again, so I really stumbled over my words. But I just watched that, and I watched number two again today. So they made this special, and they found a bunch of like paid programming blocks at like 4 a.m. and paid to have it aired on actual like TV, not just streaming only. It aired on TV.
At 4 a.m.
At like four in the morning, 4 or 5 a.m, you know, depending on where you live. And I got up at whatever time it was to watch the Crunchyroll Christmas special on Christmas Eve or Christmas or whatever this was. It is also available, like, it's easily available. It's on Verve, it's on Crunchyroll, it's on YouTube. It's, you know, it's, you don't have to get up at 4 a.m. to watch it now. But so the first one is, it's kind of like a clip show where Mike does skits, and in between those skits, he'll show like 3 or 4 minute clips to Christmas anime. And so, like, one of them is some show called, like, Woozer. One of them is, I believe, a Gintama clip. And then there's, oh, I can't remember her name, but everybody calls her Japanese Garfield. It's just, like, little anime girl that wears, like, a orange jumper.
Yeah, I don't know what's talking about.
And then, in between, he does these just, like, really weird skits. But then number two, it doesn't have the anime clips. It's just only skits. And it starts off with Mike Toole chugging eggnog for like 5 minutes. It's really bizarre. They're very dry and existential humor. And I realize even now that I watched it versus when I did the podcast and kind of just briefly talked about it, it's still, I don't know what to say about it because short of just explaining each one of the bits, it's hard to explain what it's about. Because it's, you know, like there's a whole sketch where they're wearing a green screen sweater and they keep putting stuff on the sweater in post-production. Like, I don't know how to...
What the fuck?
You know, like, you have to watch that to enjoy it. I can't just be like, and then they did the green screen bit. Both episodes have this weather bit where a guy does anime-themed weather forecasts. Miles does a TED talk in both of them while holding Dakimakura, whatever it is. Anyway, highly recommended. I don't know how these got made. I mean, like, in intuitively, I understand, like, somebody made these and filmed them and paid for them and whatever, but, like, they're very weird. And I have to assume that this was before Crunchyroll was owned by AT&T. They're no longer owned by AT&T, but for a brief period they were. The second one came out in 2017. I don't know when the AT&T sale happened, but I just, like, it was such a strange stunt, and to do it twice, that it's shocking to me that I don't think it could happen again, is what I'm trying to say. And I watch these every year. They're outrageous. But the reason why we're here, Ryan, Ichidate my Santa, would you believe me if I told you that this is the second time we've done an Ichidate my Santa podcast?
Yes, I would, because I vaguely have memories of this, but I don't remember it well enough.
And this was a long time ago, and, like, the podcast is long since taken offline. Like, the website it was part of is down. Yeah. This would have been probably almost 10 years ago. Because we were doing a show called Fight Bait Anime Podcast Version 2, I think is what it would have been a part of. And just like every year, I do the same bit. I'm like, let's talk about Christmas anime, but there really isn't a lot of Christmas anime. You know, there's Tokyo Godfathers, there's Ichidate My Santa, and then, like, the rest that you have to work from is, like, the Christmas special of, you know, half a dozen anime. You know, so, like, My Hero Academia has Christmas-themed episodes. Toradora has a Christmas episode where I don't remember any of the characters' names in that show. Taiga. I think Taiga, like, hugs a giant Santa teddy bear or something.
Yeah, never mind.
It's, you know, there was another one. Ai Ori Aoshi has a Christmas episode.
That sucks, Fat Dong.
I don't even think that's a full length episode. I think that was like a 15 minute special. Pokemon has several Christmas themed episodes and short episodes, but, like, in general, there's not a lot of, like, straight up Christmas anime. Ken Akamatsu might have the monopoly on it, because there's also the Love Hina Christmas OVA, which is all about buying a Christmas dress and, like, forgetting it in a car.
Man, you know, I have that on DVD, and as subpar as Love Hina is, I kind of want to watch it again.
I watched that maybe once, and it's funny because I haven't seen any of Love Hina, but I've seen the Love Hina Christmas, essentially, movie. It's like 45, 60 minutes long or something. Maybe they don't forget a dress. That might be an episode of Sex and the City.
Yeah, that probably is Sex and the City. I can understand getting those two mixed up, though. Sorry.
You know, but so Ichidate My Santa is something that I've watched probably three or four times now. And I took extensive notes this time. And the reason for this is every time I watch Ichidate My Santa, somehow I black out. Have you ever seen this OVA?
No.
Oh, my God. I guess, you know, maybe you have and you don't remember. Every time I watch it, somehow I black out. Because I like wipe all of it from memory. I've seen this more times. I've now watched probably, if you total it all up, I've probably spent 2 hours watching Ichidate My Santa, maybe longer. And I struggle to tell you what it's about. I had to take very detailed notes. And something that always comes back to me when I watch it is like how slow time seems to go when you're watching this OVA. You ever have that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you brought up Ayori Ayoshi. That's a show that makes me realize that time drags forward agonizingly.
Like, I was watching the second episode of Itadate My Santa while I was waiting for you to get home from work, and I kept looking at the counter like, how has it only been 5 minutes? This is outrageous. What are we... I can't do this. I didn't make it through episode two, but... So this time, because it's... I don't know for a fact. I didn't check every single streaming service, but I don't think it's easily streaming anymore. It was a Funimation title, and it's not on Funimation service anymore. And I think I checked Hulu. I don't know why I thought Hulu would have it. There's not a lot of high demand for Itadate My Santa. And also, they licensed it in like 2007. So that's plenty of time for it to expire. So I found a fan dub of all things. Of all the things to fan dub, Itadate My Santa is one of them. There's a fan dub on YouTube from some group called like BT Dubs. I've never heard of them, but I was like, all right, let's do it. Itadate My Santa. What's the worst that can happen? Can you make one of the worst animes I've ever seen worse by having a bad dub? I don't know. I thought at best it could get better.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And well, because like the way that I look at it, like it's almost kind of endearing. Like, hey, this group worked really hard together on this dub, and you know they probably learned a lot about audio production and voice acting, and had a good time. You know, I don't know how they got there. I can only assume they just copied the English script from the Funimation dub, because Funimation dubbed and put this out on DVD. And what's funny is it had to get like recalled because they accidentally put that it was TVPG on the cover instead of TVMA, which like it's because there's naked breasts for like half a second in one episode.
Damn, a whole naked boob.
But so this group puts this out, and you know, it was honestly it was not bad for a fan dub. I have very low expectations, but I thought they did a pretty good job. The opening narration and the closing narration I thought could use work, because one of the issues, and I struggle with this too when I'm trying to do amateur voice work, is enunciation is something that a lot of people don't think about. Right now, I'm probably having a lot of trouble with it because I've had several Christmas beers. But trying to give a natural performance, but also make sure all of your words are clear and easy to understand, is something that's very difficult to do. And that's something that they struggled with in the opening narration. But then as they went on, it got a lot easier to understand what they were saying. So Itadate My Santa, the main character's name is Santa. Surprise. Santa is a high school or maybe college age kid. He might be 19. I'm not sure. He's either like right about to graduate high school or right about to start college. And his birthday is Christmas Eve. His parents thought like, hey, we had him on Christmas Eve. Like, why don't we name him Santa? We're assholes. And then they abandon him, and they've been gone for like most of his life. There's this whole montage about how he had to like get raised by his grandparents or whatever. And so he's just like sitting on a fountain in the middle of Tokyo or whatever, just being real depressed. And he's like, it sucks. It's Christmas Eve and my name is Santa and I hate this. Yeah. And then this young girl walks up to him and was like, we should hang out tonight.
And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, well, and he's like, what are you talking? Like, who are you? And because this is Ken Akamatsu, she's like, not like that, you pervert. And then she attacks him. And
she's like, wait, what?
Well, yeah, even though she's the one that just said, like, we should have a sleepover. Maybe in the Japanese, it like literally means something funnier. I don't know. Because it's certainly like the jokes in My Santa are not funny in English. And then she gets hauled off by the police because she's like beating a man in public. But then she immediately escapes them. And she's like, what's up? My name is Santa. And he's like, no shit, my name is Santa.
They're both named Santa?
Yes. Well, because like what they want you to believe is that she is Santa Claus. But I don't think that's how it... Because anime does this thing. It's not the only one that's done this. I think Ayao Yaoshi also did this where... Because like Christmas isn't celebrated in the same way in America. Or even, I should say, it isn't celebrated the same way as it is in Christian societies as it is in a non-Christian society, predominantly like Japan. Like, they think some of the traditions are a lot of fun, but they don't celebrate it in the same way that we would over here. And so one of the things that they do in anime sometimes is like, well, Santa Claus isn't one guy. It's actually a lot of hot anime girls. It solves
the wrong tradition,
right? Like, it solves the problem of how do we deliver to all these houses. It's like, well, yeah, there's like 800 of them and they're all stacked. And so this is just like one of many anime that have this as something that you're just supposed to accept. So she's like, what's up? My name is... Maybe Ken Akamatsu's the one that started this. That's that bastard. What's up? My name is Santa. We should spend the night. And then, like, they're trying to, I don't know, go to his house. Everything just happens kind of rapid pace in this. They end up bumping into some delinquents who are on their way home with a Christmas cake.
Oh, boy.
And Santa, the boy Santa, he bumps into this delinquent and knocks over his Christmas cake. This is a fucking problem. So he's about to get beat up. So the other Santa, we'll call her Mai, because her name is Mai Santa.
Oh, are you kidding?
Nope.
Because this is, are we going to find Itsudate now?
I think Itsudate means something, but they didn't translate it in the title. I mean, it must mean something.
I thought it meant always.
Yes, yeah, that is what Wikipedia says. Always my Santa. So I wonder why they didn't just put that on the American DVD. Because it's not like Funimation was not going to change, you know, because this was the same era that they did Case Closed where they changed it to Jimmy Kudo. So I wonder why they let Itsudate stay. Maybe Ken Akamatsu demanded it. I don't know.
He's got that sway.
So always my Santa. So her name is My Santa. So she fights off the group of delinquents. And in doing so, we learn about her Santa powers. And this is...
What?
She's got Santa... I mean, she's Santa Claus, one of the many anime Santa Clauses that delivers presents every Christmas, Ryan. Keep up.
Sorry.
She has the power to make things materialize, but only if they start with San. And so she makes, like, fish appear. And I don't know, part of the problem is, like, these are Japanese puns. And so a lot of these words, they just leave it in Japanese, because, like, otherwise it doesn't make sense. But it's still not a funny joke, even if I spoke Japanese as my first language, because it's like, haha, I get it. Her name is Santa. And she can make things that also start with San appear. Like, what? And this bit goes on for like a couple minutes.
That sounds so painful.
She makes a lot of these whatever these fish are called. They look like bass or salmons. I don't know. She drowns the delinquents in salmon.
She kills them.
They all die. And then they go back to his house or his apartment or whatever. And she has to take a shower.
Now, yeah!
I wasn't paying super close attention, so I don't...
Until the shower scene.
I don't necessarily know why she was taking a shower. But because, again, Ken Akamatsu, Lord and Scholar, he has Santa, the boy, not my Santa, he's like, yo, why are your tits and ass so small as she's taking a shower? This is, I wish I could tell you I was making this up. I mean, he doesn't say tits and ass, but he's like, you sure are underdeveloped. And she says, no shit. That's because people don't believe in Santa anymore.
Oh, man. It's like, Sid, have you ever... it's like all the Christmas movie plots except turned into porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only more people believed in Santa, if only more people clapped, then I would have a bigger badonkadonk.
Yeah.
So, what happens next? This is all... There's not a lot of logical jumps between what's happened. Then I guess like the next cut, it's like they're outside on his balcony, and she is professing her love to him. They just met. Remember?
Wait, this is all the first episode, right?
This is all. There's only two episodes.
Oh, okay.
So they've known each other for about 15 minutes, and she's like, "I am in love with you," and then she kisses him. And gives him what she calls like happy powers.
Oh yeah, well that's what I call it when I get an erection too.
Because he's really depressed, and she's like, "Well, what are you so depressed about?" And he's like, "Well, you know, I really like this girl at school, and you know, such and such, and I'm afraid to, you know, admit that I like her," which is like, yo, this. You know, admittedly unhinged woman in front of you just said that she's in love with you. Maybe don't talk about your crush. That's probably a bad idea.
But yeah, man.
Because she's
psycho.
Because she's Santa and because she has super Santa powers, she makes his crush call him and say, "Hey, I also have a crush on you and I want to hang out tonight." And he's like, "Oh, well, that's sure as dope. Yeah, I guess I'm going to go do that. But wait. She didn't actually call you. I just somehow made that phone call happen. It's not real, though."
What? Fuck that.
And he what's great, this, it reminds me of an episode of Bob's Burgers where they... It's the episode where they're trying to sell the bike to, like, the investment bankers. And one of the bankers lies and says he has a horse in his backyard named Buttercup. And Tina tries to hang out with Buttercup. He's like, "Buttercup's not real." And she's like, "Well, what's up, Buttercup, just in case." And that's what happens in this moment.
Is
he's like, "Well, I'm going to go over to her house just in case that wasn't a fake phone call."
But. Oh my God.
But he was just told it was a fake phone call. So he goes to her apartment. This is all a half hour anime. Just remember that.
You know, if I may interrupt.
They use time crystals to animate it. It feels like it's 45 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, you say this makes things feel slow, but at the same time, it feels pretty quick.
So much happens. The most happens.
All right.
So he goes to visit his crush. I guess he just knows where she lives, which is not concerning in any way. She's like, "Oh, Santa, what's up? Why are you in my apartment?"
Up, dog.
And he says, "Well, you just called me and told me to come over, didn't you?"
No.
And she says, "No, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I didn't call you. What's going on?" He's like, "Oh, I thought you called me and told me to come over. I guess, all right." But then, like, by some bizarre coincidence, so let's recap. he got a fake phone call from her telling her to come over, or telling him to come over. He goes over. She says that did not happen. So we've established he was not supposed to go to her apartment. He has no reason to go to her apartment tonight, but he's there. And I'm just reiterating that because she opens the door a little bit further to reveal his entire classroom is in there and they're throwing a surprise birthday party for Santa.
Him, Santa?
Yep.
Wait a minute. But then how?
How would he have known to go over there without the fake phone call? And why did... Even if by some bizarre coincidence he just was visiting, why did she act like, why are you at my apartment? Like, she almost told him to go home.
Bruh, what are you doing?
But they were like, yo, Santa, it's Christmas, and it's also your birthday. It's your Christmas birthday. What's up? Let's get drunk. And that's when he remembers that he has to go back to hang out with my Santa, the other Santa. So he ditches his friends to go hang out with this, like, maybe dangerous woman that he just met that day, that he left in his apartment, by the way.
Yeah, makes sense. Checks out.
So he goes back to find her, and he kisses her because he realized that she's really the one he wants to be with, or whatever. I don't know. He's like, I got to give you your happy powers back. Here's your kiss. And that's when the clock strikes midnight. And it does a magical girl sequence where her ass gets bigger and her breasts turn into like triple D's.
Yes, I knew it.
And her hair changes to blonde and her normal clothes turn into a Santa outfit, but it's like a mini skirt and a halter top. But like the white fluffy trim and like red velvet. And she's like, you believed in me. Thank you, Santa. I love you.
But,
and I wish I could tell you that that's where it ends, but
it's not.
No, she decides to take him on a sleigh ride. I don't remember if they leave the country or not, but they go on a sleigh ride for a while. They deliver presents together. She has to she's Santa. She has to deliver presents. Thank God he believed in her in time, because otherwise those kids are waking up with nothing. But they like break into a kid's house and leave a present because this kid's one of the only people that believe in Santa. Obviously not enough, because her butt wasn't big enough until homeboy kissed her.
Yeah, I mean, come on, bro.
But so then she's like, I got one more thing to show you. And I don't know if they were in like a rural area of Japan or if they were in like a third world country, but they go to a giant room filled. This is going to sound like I'm making it up. I might need to crack open another beer before I give you the twist ending of this.
Oh my God. Tell me. All right.
It's incredible. They go to a giant room filled with sleeping orphans. And she's like, these are orphans.
Okay.
They don't have shit.
I feel like you should have done your own fandom.
They're like so lonely and sad, and they like barely even have school to look forward to. Their life sucks, but one day these traveling photographers just happen to pass through their village, and they were like, wow, these orphans need us. We are never going to leave this village. Those are Santa's parents.
What? Wait, what?
Yeah.
The photographers? Wait, like Santa's... Oh! Are you fucking kidding me, dude? What the...
Because in the beginning, We set up, because this is, you know, really good narrative structure here from Ken Akamatsu. He sets up that Santa has estranged parents. He's real sad about it. And so now we find out that they, well, and I got to wonder, like, when they left him, because they show him growing up alone, but these are still, like, adolescent children. But Santa's, like, 19 now. So, like, have they just cycled through orphans? I guess that's possible, but the implication here is that he's all right with being abandoned because they couldn't abandon these other kids.
That's kind of fucked up, but okay.
And he has like a tearful phone conversation with his mom and dad. He's like, "It's okay, mom and dad. I saw the orphans." But it's all, you like, you also wonder, like, could they not have brought that up over the last, like, 15 years?
Yeah, could they have not, like, at least come visit or brought him over there or something?
Yeah, they could have brought him with. Yeah, because by when they abandoned him, he would have been the same age of as the orphans, making him technically an orphan, but all intents and purposes an orphan.
Like, what's...
The okay. needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, Ryan. Fuck yeah, that kid. But yeah, that is something that I hadn't considered until you just brought it up, is why didn't they just bring him with? Fuck you, Santa.
Yeah, they're like, wow, we really dropped the ball with that one. Time to bail out.
And that's episode one of Itsudate My Santa.
I'm sorry, that's still not the whole thing?
I know I spoiled the joke. I was originally going to say, and then there's another episode, but I've been talking about episode two this whole time. There is a second episode. Now, I didn't pay as much attention to this one because I was writing my notes and getting prepped. But I've always remembered episode two as being the worst of the two episodes. And episode one is really bad.
Yes.
Like, it's one of the worst anime I've ever watched. Episode two takes place on the beach.
Every anime needs a beach episode.
And it also... The reason why I've never given episode two... like the time of day is because episode two, it just like recycles all the same animation. Like a lot of the same bits from the first episode are in this. They're just using probably the exact same cells, just swapping out the, like the outfit, like changing it from like a shirt and pants to a bikini. Cause the same bit where like somebody's sitting down and she goes and talks to him and then gets hauled off by the police. The exact same animation sequence happens. It's just they're on a beach now. They run into the delinquents again. Instead of a cake, it's a watermelon. It's not very creative. But what really gets me, we've got like five more minutes left. What really gets me, there's a couple moments. Santa's on the phone with somebody. He's talking about a party he's going to go to that night. And he says, for the first time on Christmas, I'm going to be surrounded by my friends. And it's like, motherfucker, did you forget about the surprise party they threw for you that you ditched last Christmas?
What's he grinsing about there, buddy?
You know, last Christmas, they gave you their hearts. And the very next day, you threw it away.
Yeah.
But also there's another bit. This was right when, you called me, my Santa is complaining that she's afraid to tell Santa, the guy Santa, that she loves him because she's afraid of getting rejected. And it's like, I also watched My Santa and I'm pretty sure there was an entire plot line about how she says, "I love you, Santa," to his face. And then she shows him his parents. So, like, what are we doing?
Yeah, didn't that happen or did that not happen?
I don't know. This is such a bizarre thing. And I don't, like, I think about this from start to finish. How did this happen? Like, you have to see this to believe it.
Because I really do want to now.
It's easy to find it. Like, you can even, like, it's not streaming on Funimation. It's probably hard to find copies of it outside of eBay right now. But, like, if you know where to look, it's out there. But what's wild to me about this is, how did it get created? How did it get published? How did it turn into an anime? Like, from start to finish, this is wild. And, like, I know that Ken Akamatsu isn't, like, you know, our modern-day Osamu Tezuka. But it's still, like, such a bizarre story that's, like, incoherent. Maybe the manga was better. I doubt it. It ran in a weekly magazine, too. And, like, you know how cutthroat those can be. Where it's like, if you're not, you know, at the top of the character charts every week, you get canceled. And so, like, this was about a volume long. It says that it was serialized in volumes 4 and 5 of Shonen Magazine in 1997. So maybe it was 2 chapters long. Like, 2 longer chapters. That's still, like, all right, so it still got written and approved by his editor. But then, so that was in 97. The anime came out almost 10 years later. So 10 years later, 2005, someone was like, you remember that Christmas anime or Christmas manga that Ken Akamatsu did? What if we make an anime about it? And then Funimation watched that and said, what if we spend a bunch of money to make this ours? And then people like me, I actually bought this at one point. I used to have this on my shelf. I don't have an excuse for that because I knew. I'd seen it. I'd watched a fan sub of this before I bought it.
I knew what I was doing.
I knew exactly what I was doing. It's just like such a strange piece of anime history. There's no good thing to say about Itsudate My Santa. It's not like a so bad it's good. It's like a so bad that you like get bored watching it 5 minutes in. Like, doing this podcast is fun, but like, so is watching good anime. Like, I could have spent a better use of those 28 minutes. It's just unbelievable. And Ryan, now you've listened to me rant about it twice over the years. I wonder how close this was to my original podcast.
I feel like I would remember something this spectacular.
You know what's funny is the amount of time between us doing 2 Itsudate My Santa podcasts, the same amount of time between Ken Akamatsu writing it and this getting greenlit as an anime. I did that on purpose.
Wow. Brilliant.
That also, apparently, it means that it's been 8 years since I've watched Itsudate My Santa.
I also went to the Wikipedia, and I don't remember you mentioning that there was a Santa Claus Academy.
Oh, yeah, that happens in episode 2, which I didn't pay as much attention to. Episode 2 is about, like, they introduce, like, 3 other characters. Because the first episode is just about her and Santa. The other 3 characters that they list on the Wikipedia. Oh, it says they're OVA only. Oh, my God. I didn't realize that. So what that means is that the second episode, they just made because they hate us.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Checks out.
But yeah, I guess they just, well, that makes me even more upset. Because it's like, the first episode was bad. Why would they make a second original episode?
You know, when you've got a thing, you make lemons.
It's so strange to me, though, because if you think, like, Funimation, they released this on DVD as its own thing It's only an hour long, and it's not good.
It's not good.
But, like, how do you market that?
Yeah. Well, good thing I'm not in charge of marketing, because I got no fucking clue.
I just, like, I don't know how... There were so many bad decisions made that led to this.
Maybe there was just one really diehard fan at Funimation.
Yeah, it's just one guy that's just like, yeah. I remember Itsudate My Santa, and I really need to make this happen. That's
I want everybody to know the glory that is Santa.
I wonder if the manga ever, I mean, I don't think the manga came out over here, but I wonder if there's a fan translation of the manga. I don't think I hate myself enough to read it, but I'm curious to know if it exists. I don't know, dog, but that is an episode, the secret super cheerful Christmas episode of the Gonzo.Moe No Name Anime Show. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me. I've been trying to get you on a podcast for a while.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
I got a tweet. Somebody compared Itsudate My Santa to the Garfield Christmas special. I don't know if that's accurate, but I'm ready. Ryan, do you do any podcasts, or do you do Twitches? What do you do?
No, I don't do shit anymore.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I do a lot of dumb podcasts. I've been doing a morning show every day at 8 a.m. This past week, Monday through Friday. We also do the Gonzo.Moe show. We do the Newsroom, Newsbroom, and the No Name show. We got way too many podcasts now. I don't know how people tolerate this. It's out of control. But WJMOERadio.com, Gonzo.Moe. I'm sorry, everybody. I'll try to stop. Anyway, see you next time. Cheers. Yeah!